It is good to see everybody here this morning. You know, it's been quite an ordeal. It's going all the way back to March. And I'm sure a lot of you are probably weary by now and tired of this, almost sickeningly tired of it, and ready for it to be completely gone. I was ready for it to be gone in April. And then we were able to come into the building in May. That was great. And then to just be told, well, there's a resurgence happening around us, that's very discouraging. And one of the things, if you go back and listen to the sermons that I have delivered during this time period, numerous times I've tried to encourage you to go to God in prayer. That whenever you're finding yourself discouraged, go to God in prayer. When you're finding yourself weak, struggling, go to God in prayer. When you find that you're afraid, go to God in prayer. And since I have impressed it upon you in so many numerous sermons, I think it is good that we slow down now and just really focus on exactly what kind of prayer life it is that God wants us to have with Him. I'm going to start the sermon here over in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. These are the disciples of Jesus coming to Him. Now it came to pass as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And so here we see the disciples of Jesus, the apostles, they are coming to Jesus saying, "Teach us how to do this." And so that is what we're going to be learning from the lesson this morning, and that is exactly how the Bible does indeed teach us how to do this. This is such a vital part of our relationship with God, to where if you're going to draw near to God and have God draw near to you, the way in which we speak to God is through prayer, and the way in which God speaks to us is through His Word. And so for us to draw strength from God in that relationship with God, we need to know exactly, how do you do this? How do you pray to God when you are speaking to Him? In Luke chapter 11, now in verse 2, he says, "So he said to them, when you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" First of all, at the very beginning, what I want us to recognize is when we're praying, who is it that we're talking to? Are you talking to your wife? Are you talking to your husband? Are you talking to your friend? Is it somebody on Facebook? Who are you talking to? You are talking to God, the Creator, the Sustainer of life. You're talking to God Almighty. Do not speak to Him like you're talking to Joe. Speak to God, understanding the individual you're approaching. Jesus says this. How do you approach Him? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You approach God Almighty with honor and the dignity and the respect that He is due as being God Almighty. Hallowed be His name. Another major part of prayer that we need to learn is over in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 5. "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." A mediator is a go-between, an intercessor, if you will. There is only one being in the universe who understands God completely and man completely. That is an individual who is the Son of God and the Son of man at the same time. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And when He rose from the dead, He ascended back into heaven, folks. This is His function now. He functions as our high priest pertaining to God and us. He is our mediator. And I want you to see here how many mediators there are. There's only one God and one mediator between God and men. It's not Mary. You do not pray to God through Mary, Jesus' mother. You do not pray to God through any dead Christian who has lived in the past. There is only one mediator, and if you're going to go to God and speak to God and approach the throne of God, you have to go through the one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Let me give you a couple more verses on this. Over in John chapter 14, 13 and 14. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, if you listen to the prayers that are being prayed here by the men of this congregation when we're leading the congregation in prayer, you will always hopefully hear this in the close of the prayer, "In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray." What we are doing there, We are following this particular verse and its teaching, and that is when we're praying to God, we pray in the name of Christ. We are praying and acknowledging we're coming to God through the mediator, through the intercessor, through the advocate, Jesus the Christ. Again, John chapter 15 now. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So here again, whenever you're praying to the Father, who do you pray through? You go through the one mediator, Jesus Christ. If you don't go through Christ, you need to understand this. You don't go. So if you want to talk to God, you've got to go through Christ to the Father. Now, I'm going to read from the outline here in Luke chapter 18, where you have the example of two men's prayers. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Oh, let's stop right there. This individual is speaking to God Almighty. And basically his attitude in speaking to God is, aren't I great, God? Aren't I wonderful? Look at all the things that I do. I'm not like these other people. And he's talking about how wonderful he is, how righteous he is to God. Now, there's a problem with this. He is approaching God Almighty with an arrogant attitude, with pride even in himself. Go back to the outline, if you will, and read with me the next verse, verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so here you have the prayer of the tax collector. How does he approach God? He will not even look up toward heaven. Why? Because he is ashamed. Why is it that he strikes his breast with his hand? Because he is ashamed. He's upset at himself. Let me ask this. Have you ever been angry at you? I get really angry at me sometime. I really come down on me sometime. And you know, usually when I'm really angry at me, yeah, I do lose stuff. I get upset about that. But when I really get angry at me the most is when I realize, yet I have sinned again. I've messed up again. And so here this man will not even look up to heaven. And he has a humble attitude, understanding this. He is a sinner approaching God Almighty, who is holy. Brethren, you must always understand this. God is holy, 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 and we are vile sinners. And so anytime you approach God, even when you think you've had a good day, okay, great. Still go to God understanding I am a vile sinner. And even my acts of righteousness, as he says in another scripture, are like dirty rags. Approach God in humility as one who is a sinner in need of being forgiven. Let's continue now. This is very important. In Matthew 11, 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this. When we are praying to God, God is looking at our hearts. He's looking at our minds. He's looking at our attitudes and our relationship with Him. And He is wanting us, the people that are praying to Him, to trust Him absolutely, completely. To approach Him in prayer with faith. Look at this over in James chapter 1. I'm reading from the outline. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now look at this. You're going to God in prayer, and as you're approaching God, you're having some doubting here. What is it you may be doubting? Well, does God really exist? Or does he even hear? Does God care? Is God going to do anything about this? Is he going to respond to my prayer? Any aspect of doubting God, God does not like at all. He does not like it when we question him, doubt him, doubt his presence, doubt his love, doubt his power. Do not doubt God at all. When you're going to God, it has to be a prayer of absolute trust and faith, brethren. Look at the last part of this. The man who's doubting, let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Years ago when I was in Mississippi, I was talking to a young lady, a member of the church, and she said, when I'm praying, I feel like my prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling. And I looked at her and I said, well, they probably don't, and it's because of the way you think about it that's causing it to be that way. If you don't think God is going to hear you, guess what? You're not going to have your prayer answered. If you don't think God is going to answer you, guess what? He won't. If you want your prayer answered, you want your petition answered. You want your plea to God answered. Pray with absolute, total trust and faith, with nothing doubting at all. And so if you're struggling with doubt, you need to recognize that and get it out. Going over to James now, chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this story. Down in Texas years ago, there was a time you probably remember when one of the oil rigs out in the Gulf was spewing oil out in the Gulf of Mexico. And at the same time, we were having drought in Texas. It hadn't rained for weeks. And one of our elders named Brother Carter, he got up and he prayed. And he prayed specifically that we would have rain and that it would give the land the water that it needs and that they would be able to find a way to stop the flow of the oil in the Gulf of Mexico. He prayed for those two things specifically on Wednesday night. And then Thursday we got rain. And then Thursday they found a way to stop the flow of oil in the Gulf of Mexico. And the young man that I was working with in the summer in the preacher training program, he called me up and he was all excited. He said, Brother Carter prayed for rain and it rained. Brother Carter prayed that they would find a way to stop the flow of oil, and it was found the very next day. Both the things he prayed for last night, both of them happened. And I went, yeah, and? Why are you surprised when God answers? It's the old saying, if you pray for rain, you better carry your umbrella. You need to realize, folks, the power of prayer. You may not remember this. You know I'm a Ronald Reagan fan. You come in my office, you'll figure that out quick. There was a reason for that. I love the man because of the stands that he took. But I remember when he was going over to Reykjavik, Iceland, to talk to Gorbachev. And before he left, he had a request of the American people because he was going to discuss a way to cut down on nuclear weapons with Russia, the Soviet Union. And before he left, he said, the most powerful thing in the world is not an atomic bomb. The most powerful thing in the world is the prayer of a Christian. And so I request that you pray for me while I am about to go to try to reduce the number of atomic bombs in the world. The president understood that. Do you? Do you understand the most powerful thing in this world is within you? The most powerful thing in the world is the Christian praying. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a woman avails much. Let me tell you, I'm looking at an audience of righteous men and women. Elijah was a man like us. I know he was a prophet of God, but he was a man just like you and me. He prayed to God that it would not rain. How long did it go without raining? 3.5 years without a drop. That's how powerful prayer is. And then whenever he wanted to rain, do you know how many times he prayed after what happened at Mount Carmel and the defeat of the priest of Baal? He prayed 7 times. effectual fervent prayer is praying and praying and praying hard and praying intensely and laying it all out before God, everything that's in your heart, all of your fears, all your cares, all your problems, all the things you're concerned about. Take it to God in prayer and realize He is there. He is hearing your prayer, and He will answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer. Go on to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. It simply says, pray without ceasing. And then again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Notice that phrase, night and day praying exceedingly. I'm going to give y'all a suggestion. Anybody here sometimes struggle sleeping at night? Yeah. When I wake up sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's real tough to get back to sleep. Well, I'm going to give you some suggestions of what you can do at 3 in the morning. Do not go to Facebook again. Do not play another game of chess again. Go to God in prayer. Sometimes when you can't sleep in the middle of the night, it's quite often because of what's pressing down on you. Quite often it's because of stress. It's coming out of you in the middle of the night, and you can't stop thinking, and you can't stop worrying, you can't stop being afraid because of where you are and what's happening to you and what's happening around you. Okay, is that describing where you are? If that's where you are and you realize you're in the middle of the night and you can't pray, what do you do then? That's a great time to take it to God, to just start praying and pray and pray and pray and pray. Pray fervently. Pray exceedingly. Pray without ceasing. In other words, longer than 2 minutes. If you're praying fervently, it's going to take a while. Take your time. And if you're not doing this, you're really missing out. I cannot overemphasize this. I told y'all the story of rebuking my boys when they were 3 years old because they would not eat my wife's pecan pie. Yes, my wife is shaking her head. She still remembers it because it was one of the stupidest things that ever came out of my mouth. When I threatened to punish my boys because they were refusing to eat pecan pie. But you know what happened whenever they took a bite of that pecan pie? Their eyes lit up. Oh man, this is good stuff. And so if we have a potluck and there's a pecan pie and my boys are there, don't be offended if they go get some of that first. They learn quickly. It's just as foolish for me to rebuke you for not praying and not having a fervent prayer life. I'm just going to tell you, you're missing out on something really good. And one of the reasons you may be still carrying your fear and your pressure and your stress is because you haven't taken it to the Lord. You're still trying to carry it yourself. Quit trying to carry it all by yourself. It will crush you. Take it to God. He does love you. He is there. He does answer. And He will answer. Sometimes, when does the answer come? In the very last second. Do you remember Abraham and Isaac, folks? How far did God allow Abraham to go sacrificing his son before God provided? Folks, the knife was in the air, ready to come down into his son. And at the very last second, God stopped him and God provided exactly what he needed. There are going to be times in your life when you are going to be given exactly what you need at the moment. And sometimes it will be at the very last moment. And sometimes it will be precisely what you need just to get you to the very next day, to the very next moment, to keep going forward. Why did God give the children of Israel manna on a daily basis? so they would learn to trust Him and realize He's the provider. To where every day God was going to provide their needs. God was going to provide their needs. He was trying to drive that lesson home to them. We still struggle to learn the lesson today. That the Lord will provide, and He will provide exactly what our needs are, and sometimes it will be the very last moment. And so when that does happen, please do not go, "Well, isn't that a coincidence? I received exactly what I needed just to sustain me today, to get me through this." Every time it happens to me, and it has happened multitudes of times, I almost start crying. Matter of fact, sometimes I do cry. You know why I cry whenever exactly what I'm needed is given to me at the very last moment? Because that reassures me He is indeed there. He is hearing my prayers. And if He's hearing my prayers about the things I'm worried about and afraid about and struggling with, He hears the bigger prayers about me praying for the forgiveness of my sin and me begging for mercy, that He will allow me to be with Him. Folks, those are the big prayers. And so when He's answering the smaller physical prayers, and I recognize His hand in my life, I should rejoice. Because that tells me He's hearing and answering the really big prayers too. So pray fervently. Draw close to God often. Dive deep into your prayer life. Lay it all before God often. And the more you do this, the more you will draw strength from God, and the more you'll have peace because you are going to God. Let's go to the next verses on this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17 through 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Philippians 4 and 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And finally, Colossians 4 and 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Did you notice a pattern in those three verses? They're all dealing with prayer, and every one of them conclude with the concept of with thanksgiving. Now, as I told you earlier, there are times that I've gone to God in prayer, and then I see the prayer answered. And when you see the prayer answered, do not think it's just coincidence. The hand of God is in our lives. We are His children. We are righteous men and women in the body of Christ. And when we are taking to God in prayer, He is going to answer it. He is. In the subject, He is going to answer it. So when it happens, recognize the blessings that are being given to you by God. You know, one of the things we pray for whenever we're getting ready to take a journey, before we even get out of the driveway, we pray that God will give us a safe journey. Now, if on my journey, all of a sudden, I have a flat tire, does that mean God has given up on me and hadn't heard my prayer because I'm slowed down because I got to take time out to fix this flat tire? I want to tell you a better way to look at it, okay? The flat tire is keeping me from being killed later on down the road. You need to realize if you're asking for the hand of God to be in your life, folks, it's there. And so what comes, accept it and realize, okay, so this is where I am now. But are there blessings that are being given to you? Yes, physical blessings, spiritual blessings, they are being loaded upon us. Have you ever done this, what the song says? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Have you ever really tried to do that? I was doing that just yesterday because I was thinking about this sermon. And I, after about a minute or two, I just got like, wow, okay. I need to think more about these things. Because you may not really be paying attention to the blessings that are all around you. The really nice ability to be able to breathe. The ability to function without being in pain. The ability to have wonderful food. Wonderful cool water to drink. Clean water to drink. the ability to come together in a wonderful building and worship God, being showered with so many blessings. My cup doesn't run over. My bathtub runs over. I got more blessings than I know what to do with. I got more clothes than I know what to wear. I got more food than I know what to eat. Okay. Does that describe your life? Recognize them and be thankful for them. I'm going to steal a quote here from a dear sister in Texas. The seeds of discouragement cannot grow in a thankful heart. I'm going to say that again. The seeds of discouragement cannot grow in a thankful heart. Because you see, when you're thankful, you're taking time out to recognize all that actually is right. Are there things that are wrong in our lives? Yes, there are. Is this COVID-19 annoying? Yes, it is. Are you ready for it to be gone? Yes, like 3 months ago. And yet here we are talking about trying to put on the brakes. Okay. All right. That's where we are. I'm a realist. It's where we are. But I'm also a realist to the fact that we're in a building to where we're able to practice social distancing. We have the ability to wear a mask. We have the ability to have Germex. We have the ability to have water to wash our hands with and water to drink. We have the ability to prevent the spread. And then I still have plenty of food to eat. I have a car to drive. My body is still functioning. I'm still here. Folks, when you really slow down and start doing it, it is really a good practice to do. Just to be conscious and aware of all the blessings that you have and are being showered with, so you in turn can be thankful to God. Make sure this is a part of your prayer life. Yes, go to God and request the things that are the needs in your life, but at the same time, slow down in the prayer life and focus on what He has answered, what He has done, and what He is doing, and thank Him for it. Everything that is good and everything that is perfect in our life, where is it coming from? The Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shifting shadow, according to James. Now, I want to go back to Philippians 4 and 6. Notice how the verse begins. Be anxious for nothing. Now then, I want you to notice two superlatives in this verse. The first superlative is nothing. The very next superlative is three words later on, but in everything. Nothing, everything. Those are what we call superlatives. So, what's wrong in our life? Finances? Pray about it. Health? Pray about it. Struggle spiritually? Pray about it. Sins you've committed? Pray about it. Everything that's wrong. Everything. It doesn't matter how big it is. If someone says it can't be done, pray about it. If people say, well, that's too trivial to take to God, there's nothing too trivial to take to God. When He says, be anxious for nothing, by the way, how does that mean? Nothing. If you're worried about it, take it to God. Doesn't matter how small it is, how trivial it is, take it to God. If you're worried about it and anxious about it, take it to God. And you take everything to God. And you lay it all before Him. And then He talks about this peace that passes all understanding that's not there on the outline. The next verse says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many of you like to have that kind of peace? That kind of calmness? That kind of security? When you have the storms around you and you have problems in your life, it's very difficult not to become anxious and afraid and worrying. So the way we deal with fear is by realizing God is there. He's hearing our prayers. He will answer them, and He is answering them. The hand of God is in our life. Enjoy it. And we'll close with the last verse here from 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray also with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Praying with the understanding. Whenever we are coming together in the assembly and someone is leading our minds in prayer, I request that you focus your mind on what is being said. That you actually follow the one's thoughts to where they're leading you from one subject to another, and you're praying with them on the same subjects, and sometimes even more. Often when they're leading me to an area and I'm praying, I'm listening to what they're saying, and then I add my thought to it. And they'll lead me to another area, and then I'll say what they're praying. And sometimes you may skip a subject, and guess what? I go back to it. I go back and say things in my prayer while I'm here that you may not have covered. And even though you may say amen, I may keep going in my mind. But when you're praying, God is looking at your heart. He wants it to be a prayer of faith, and He wants you to actually understand what it is you're saying to Him. He doesn't want it to be what you know we call a prayer of rote. Y'all know what that is? Okay, I'll explain it to you. And that is the idea of, I have memorized this prayer and I'm saying it now so fast it sounds like I'm speaking in tongues. Have you ever heard someone do that? To where it's the same prayer they pray every time and they've been praying it now for 20 years and now that they've said it so many times, 20 years, and it's actually in English. They are speaking the language, but they're going so fast. You ask, wait a minute, do you talk that fast to anybody else? Are you in a race here? Don't get comfortable to where you just ritualistically go through the motion of prayer, is the point I'm trying to make. God does not like when our worship is just ritualistically going through the motion. And so when we are praying to God and praying together to God, make sure it is actually from your heart with understanding to God. With humility, with faith, you see? That's why it's important that we know how to pray to God. Pray to God with faith. Pray to God fervently. Pray to God from the heart with understanding. And those are the kind of prayers God will receive. Those are the kind of prayers God recognizes. You're humble whenever you're approaching Him about your sin. When He looks at you, He says, you trust me, and so therefore He will answer your prayer. You understand what you're saying to me, so therefore He will answer your prayer. But if you don't understand, and you're just babbling some words, and you think some words are going to make it all right, no, they're not. It's got to be prayer from your heart to your God, not just saying empty words, because you can do that in a song, too. You realize the verse you're talking about singing, too? So real quickly, I'll make this point. You know, we talk about worshiping God in truth, and that is correct. That's very important that we do it His way. But it's very important that it actually be worship and not just going through some motions. You can sing a song and yet not have a clue what you just said, to where you don't even know what the title of the song is. You don't even know what the song said. To where it's 2 seconds, 10 seconds after the song is over, you can say, what was the song? And you go, what song? Huh? We're supposed to be teaching and admonishing, aren't we? You can't be taught and be admonished if you don't even know what you're saying and you're not singing with understanding and praying with understanding. God's looking at our heart. He wants it to be real, folks, and not just going through the motions. If I was going to pick one verse that is one of the most dangerous things in the Church of Christ, this is it. We've got the truth. Great. Now let's make sure our worship is real and not just coming to a building, closing my eyes, bowing my head, eating some bread, drinking some grape juice, staring at the preacher, saying some words, not really sure what I said, and go home and think, I worship God. No, you came to a building. That's what you did. Have you heard someone say, I don't get much out of the worship service? Y'all know the answer, don't you? You get out of the worship service what you put into it. You get out of it what you put into it. Because when you really come down to the end of it, worship is between you and God. And nobody can draw near to God in an individual relationship. Nobody can draw near to God for you. It comes down eventually and ultimately to you yourself and your relationship with your God. So if you want to draw near to God, a major part of it, brethren, is this sermon right here. If you want to draw strength from God, if you want to get to the point of having a peace that passes all understanding, if you want to get the most out of being a Christian, learn how to pray for real and then start doing it. And then you will find yourself having a stronger relationship with your God, having more peace in your life with God, more peace in your life because you're not afraid. I'm not going to rebuke anybody for not eating pecan pie. If you don't want it, I'll take it. I'm not going to rebuke you for not praying either. But I sure am going to tell you, you're missing out on one of the greatest privileges, and one of the greatest blessings God is allowing us. The creator of the universe, God Almighty, He is allowing us to approach His throne anytime we want. With our needs, our fears, our problems, our sufferings, our cares, our worries. And lay it all before Him. And He hears it. And He answers it. Thank you, God. I hope this sermon will help you in your personal relationship with God. I think it's a very good time now to go to God in prayer together. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, our God, we come before your throne of mercy. We thank you, our God, for this great honor that you will allow us to come to you through your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our Father, there are so many trials and problems happening to so many in our congregation, in our city, our state, and our country. Our Father, we pray for those of this congregation that may be having financial difficulties and troubles. Lord, we pray that you will provide for their needs, that they will be able to take care of their needs and their family's needs. Father, we realize there are those of our congregation that are physically ill. We pray that you will be with Jimmy Marsh and bring him through the procedure tomorrow safely as they implant a pacemaker in his body. And we pray that the purpose for the pacemaker being put inside of him will be successful, and that his health can be good, and we can be blessed with his presence for many years to come. We rejoice, our Father, and we thank you for answering our prayers about Sister Lewis. But Father, we continue to pray on her behalf, that if it is your will and you will allow it, Father, that she can be healed of her cancers, and that we can be allowed the blessing of her presence for many years, and that her health can be good. Please strengthen her and her husband and their family during these difficult times. And again, my Father, we come before your throne praying for my brother in Christ, Jeff Mann, that you will allow him to be healed of his cancers as well. Your will be done in all things. Father, we pray that you will be with us as a congregation when we realize that there is a virus that is surrounding our community and our state and our country that is causing many to become ill and even some to die. Our Father, we pray that you will protect us from this virus. We pray that it may not harm any in this congregation, but if anybody does come infected by it, Father, we pray that they would be healed quickly, Father. More than anything, our God, we come before your throne praying for forgiveness. We realize we do sin, Father, and fail you at times. We pray, Lord, that you will look down upon us in your mercy and see the broken and contrite spirit that we have and the attitude of godly sorrow that we have about our sins. And we pray, our God, that you will please allow the blood of your Son to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, that we may stand pure and justified and holy before you even at this time. And as our Father, we realize there's going to come a time when each one of us in this congregation are going to pass from this life. More than anything, our God, when that time comes that we do die, we beg and we pray for mercy. For our God, we have no greater desire than to be with you and our Lord Jesus Christ forever in heaven. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, God, for answering our prayers. Thank you for being in our lives. Thank you for all the blessings you are showering upon us daily. This is our prayer in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.